Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the most recent alcohol-related research, the mechanisms of what happens when it's consumed, and how you can make the best decision for yourself. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. We are going to talk about what's in Jim's cup today.
All right.
The subject of alcohol. It's not really in his cup, I promise.
It's not really. Very sad. Very sad.
Alcohol can be a touchy subject. It's another one of those things where some people that just don't drink are like, I'm going to not relate or talk to people that do drink and vice versa. We are not going to get into all the elements of alcohol today. We're not going to say you should drink. We're not going to say you shouldn't drink. There are some people that really deal with alcoholism. We're not experts on that subject. We're not going to talk about that either. But we do want to just touch the subject because it's important. It's really applicable to your goals, your fitness, that health span longevity piece. And there's some new information out on alcohol. So the thing I guess I'll kick it off with, and again, I'd butcher this study if I tried to just give all the exact details. But we talked about this in an earlier episode. One of the big problems, there's a book out there that I love called Ingredients. One of my big takeaways from that book was when it comes to doing epidemiological studies on nutrition and things, it's really, really hard. Most of the research we have out there, you can almost just throw in the trash because adherence, people's memory to what they did, how the study was done, how we calculated the outcomes of the studies are all just really, really challenging in controlling those environments. Alcohol, we've had this idea for a long time, and here's sort of the study, that there was this J-curve effect, meaning if you drank a little bit of alcohol, it was healthier than if you drank no alcohol or too much alcohol. So for the longest time, I think growing up as a kid, all I ever heard was, I have a few glasses of wine for the resveratrol, and I want to live longer. So they thought that there was this effect. Recently, they've gone back to all that research, and what they discovered was, a lot of people stop drinking alcohol completely as they age because they get more sick. They have to stop drinking alcohol. So they removed that population from the research. And when they did that, when they accounted for that, it removed the J curve. So basically when you pull people out that weren't drinking alcohol, you lost that, there's a little bit of benefit and then the benefit goes away. Okay, so that's just important first to look at this and go, most people today would say alcohol in the body, any amount, is not really healthy. It acts like it's a poison. And you're going to be able to talk about this much more than I can. And on the other end of the spectrum, there have been some people that are doing some good work on, there's a cool podcast called In Plain English. He did a cool episode on alcohol. I'm like, okay, well, how unhealthy is alcohol? And again, this is excluding people that are alcoholics, for example. It's the same thing that came up in that book, Ingredients. How unhealthy are these processed foods if you account for some of these things? And it's kind of a twofold answer. One, we don't really know. And two, if you're drinking modestly, it looks like you're not going to shave off for most people, okay, and take this with an asterisk because I'm no expert, that much of your longevity or your health span, okay? So on the other side of it is this coin of like, everybody doesn't need to run out tomorrow and just stop drinking, okay?
Right.
So Jim, let's talk about alcohol. What does it do in the body and why is it important for people to really consider in their health journey?
So we get this question a lot from members who show up, they're doing their sessions, they're doing health stuff, and they're, of course, well, this is the health company. I'm paying you guys to do workouts, and I'm in the app, and I'm doing my PRISM scans, and we got blood work going. What do you guys think about alcohol? What should I do? I'm open to suggestion. What should we do? And so it's important to everyone make their own decision, their own informed decision. But basically, when you ingest alcohol, it's ethanol is the active ingredient, and it gets processed in the liver. And there's a whole breakdown, and it turns into acetaldehyde, and there's a whole, and then eventually you respire and excrete it in different ways, sweat it out, breathe it out. But along the way, it does form toxic compounds that must be neutralized in the liver before the liver can do anything else it needs to do. Now, at any given moment, the liver is doing hundreds, plural, of metabolic processes for the purpose of turning over of cells, of processing incoming food, rebuilding tissue, all the stuff that the liver needs. The enzymes in the liver have activities. They're catalysts for reactions that produce intended effects. And it's all this big chain. It's a very complicated, like entire textbooks are filled up with these giant webs of, and that all stops when the ethanol arrives. So liver says, we're stopping everything just for right now. We're going to pause it all because we need to get rid of this toxin. And so then it sucks water that it needs to help neutralize the toxins. So it helps dehydrate you. And then it stops everything else that's happening. And your liver's perfectly capable of doing it. You're not going to keel over if you have a couple drinks. But if you're here at the perfect workout, it probably means you have goals that are around fat loss or muscle gain or both. And both of those require the liver to be tip top, to be functioning, because fat is metabolized and mobilized. And then the liver plays a huge part in turning that into usable energy. So the liberation of fat and the burning of fat requires the liver. So when you stop what the liver's doing, you could still get to where you're going. It's just going to slow your progress. And then the other thing is that there is fat that can accumulate around the liver because the types of things people normally drink, also like all the mixers and all the sugar and all these other things, now the liver is kind of in alarm and it takes fat deposits, visceral fat, the fat that surrounds the organs, excess fructose. Like if you did 12 Coca-Cola classics every day, you would get fatty liver because of the excess fructose. And it turns out that ethanol is processed by the same pathway as fructose. And so if you're drinking a lot, well, at least I'm not eating sugar, to your liver, it's like sugar, but then also the toxin of the acetaldehyde that the ethanol breaks into. And so you can reduce your liver's ability to function because it's physically crowded out by the fat around it. So the point is, like you said, in the long term, if you do enough right, if you're eating well, and if you're getting sleep, and alcohol also messes with your sleep. Anyone who has a sleep tracker knows that just a drink or two and your heart rate's up 10 beats a minute and your deep sleep is non-existent. So that was the first in like 7-8 years ago. Everyone's going, oh, alcohol's bad. You guys hear? Look at my tracker. Look at my Oura Ring or my whatever, my Whoop and my Apple Watch. And it's all, oh man, this is bad. And so people are slowly, the pendulum swinging to where it's not charming to be like the town drunk like 100 years ago. Now it's like, oh, this guy's got a problem. This guy, we gotta help this guy. So like you said, it's not that you need to never ever drink again for any reason ever. It's more like if you have 10 cats and then you find out you're allergic to cats and you get rid of 8 of your cats, have you solved the problem? Well, no, you're allergic to cats. So some people, it's like that. The alcoholics, it's like the allergic to cats. They can't have any exposure. Because if you have one, well, then here come the second and third drinks, and they can't control it. So for them, yeah, it's well known alcoholics shouldn't drink. For a lot of people whose brain they can stop after one or two, maybe instead of doing it every single day, maybe it's every other day. Or maybe for this 3 months, while I'm 15 pounds away, I'm 5% body fat away from my goal, for this next 90 days, I won't drink. Yeah. And I'm really going to allow my body to recover and to adapt. And then after, I can start having a drink at happy hour again and a glass of wine at dinner, and I don't need to get crazy like it's college or something. And so I think that when you know better, you do better. And when people just understand the mechanisms of what's happening when the alcohol goes in, what the body has to do to neutralize it, automatically they're going to start making better decisions. Part of that is like the wearables, but part of it is just knowing that that's, oh, that's what happened. I thought you just drink and get a little drunk and then everything's fine. No, it's not fine, but it's also not the end of the world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We talk a lot in our PeakWell program about starting where people are ready, willing, and able. And all three of those things matter. So if you're coming here and you're like, this is not a habit I can change right now, we will work around that with you. But to your point, knowledge is power. And if you're not drinking, we're not going to be the ones that say you should drink more and be a little more social around this because of those elements.
Postponing about liver confusion. It's really important.
Right.
Yeah, you're missing out on a lot of gains.
Right. There's two, actually, I'll give like two more quick tips. One, this sneaks in. Alcohol, they're extra calories people don't think about. So that's common when it comes to the weight loss journey. People thinking, I really watched what I ate today. They didn't realize that they had 600 extra calories at night through those glasses of wine. Alcohol can also make you just feel hungrier and eat more food without realizing it. So it's going against you. And some of those things we talked about in prior episodes, like GLP-1s, protein, et cetera, alcohol is sort of the antithesis. Here's the extra calories that are not useful and they're making you more hungry. So you're going to overeat. You're not really going to understand how much you overeat because of those two
things. You've lost your inhibitions. And so now food that you would have had the willpower to, no, I'm going to eat something more healthy. And it's a constellation of habits. And once you do the one, all the other ones come along with it.
Right.
So I'm not going to drink and then now I'm drunk. So then I'm going to go to the Taco Bell drive-thru on the way home and then I'm going to, or I'm going to order DoorDash or I don't want to cook tonight. I'm a little tipsy. I don't want to cook. Let's just order stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
This is the momentum that builds. It all starts with the first domino of like, it's 5 o'clock. I'll have a drink.
Right.
And then you wake up and you're like, oh, it's 10 p.m. and I've had a 2,000 calorie dinner and I've had 1,500 calories of wine and booze with all sorts of mixers in it. And you're like, okay, maybe I need to rethink some things. Versus like my grandfather, famously in the family, he lived to 94 and he had a stiff martini at 5 p.m. every day for decades. And then maybe a glass with dinner and he's fine. And he kept himself in shape and he never drank to excess. And he was like that old school, like discipline type thing, but he did enjoy that one, you know, even after he retired, it just kind of is a habit after work drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like for him, yeah, sure. But he's not ordering DoorDash.
Yeah.
He's not doing all this really bad other stuff. So for people like that, maybe the booze should be restricted to a degree.
Yeah, so I'll give some quick plugs and then one more anecdotal tip. Actually, let me start with the anecdotal tip. So for me, alcohol seems to also have the ability to kill off some of the good bacteria in the gut, and it does more of that than killing off the bad bacteria. So a hack for myself is actually just getting some good extra probiotic, whether it's foods or supplements in, to kind of balance out some of the impact of alcohol. It works. So I found that it's worked for me, which is good. And then when it comes to some more resources, just those quick plugs. Huberman had a great episode on alcohol a few years ago. I think it was the most popular podcast in the world that whole year. He talks a lot about the impact on the brain, cognition, happiness, these sorts of things. That's a great one to get into. And then I'll just go back to that one on plain English. You know, he does a great job of talking about some of the recommended amounts, like 2 to 3 glasses for guys, 1 to 2 for females and why that happens. But it gives a little bit of freedom there too for people like your grandpa that, mm-hmm. you know, we're able to do that and have good balance and enjoy the glass of wine still.
Yeah. And also it's important when you next drink glutathione, there's all kinds of supplements out there that are like, take this before you drink type supplements. A lot of them are really good. Fight fire with fire. It's a detox and retox at the same time. If you're going to do it, be smart about it. Get your minerals in, get your electrolytes in. Glutathione is great. Vitamin C, B vitamins, all these types of things. And keep chugging water the whole time. Give yourself the best chance to have it be just a little bump in the road, not a 2-day recovery because you didn't proactively take care of yourself
mm-hmm.
before you went and did that.
Back to that, when it's appropriate to supplement.
Right.
Here's yep. a good example.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, you finished your glass. Yeah. We're done talking about alcohol.
I feel great.
Good. All right. See you all next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.